You're listening to Acciona Law Podcast, where myself, founding attorney Lonnie Acciona, interviews industry experts on everything you need to know about family law and divorce in Seattle, Washington. Acciona Law, caring for you in your time of crisis.
Hi, I'm Lonnie Acciona of Acciona Law. Welcome to the Acciona Law Podcast. This podcast is for questions that have to do with the area of family law and divorce. If you listen to our first podcast, you'll recall that I interviewed our very own Katie Peterson, who works for Acciona Law, and we talked to her about the different factors that the court looks at in awarding spousal maintenance. Now, in Washington, spousal maintenance is also known as alimony or spousal support, but in Washington, the legal term is called spousal maintenance, but it's the same thing, spousal maintenance, alimony, and spousal support. So we're going to continue our discussion about spousal maintenance today with attorney Katherine Peterson. And let's just dive right into it, Katie. So last podcast, we talked about the different factors that the court had, the different factors the court looked at in awarding spousal maintenance. Now, if you wouldn't mind just kind of recapping those factors again for us, please.
So the factors in awarding spousal maintenance are the party who's seeking maintenance's need. So their actual financial resources that they have, their income, and the property that they've received in the divorce, their ability to be self-sufficient without the assistance, the time and education needed for the party to become who's seeking maintenance to become self-sufficient, the standard of living that was enjoyed during the marriage is also a factor, as well as the duration of the marriage, the age, physical and emotional condition and financial obligations of the party seeking maintenance, and the ability of the party who's being requested to pay maintenance is that party's ability to pay their own financial obligations while paying maintenance.
All right. Thank you for Katie for doing a very brief summary of the factors in awarding spousal maintenance. And if you want to hear more about that, listen to our very first podcast, episode one, where we dive into the factors awarding spousal maintenance. So moving forward, went to court with my fabulous attorney here at Acciona Law, and we got an award of spousal maintenance. But now my spouse is not paying my spousal maintenance, and this has happened. This is not new. This comes up. So, Katie, let's talk about what happens if a party has got spousal maintenance, and we're talking about temporary spousal maintenance or maybe even a final spousal maintenance order. What happens if the other party doesn't pay?
So the first thing to do usually in that situation is to send a letter to either the party if they're not represented or to their attorney, reminding them that spousal maintenance is due, and see if that resolves the problem. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. The remedy that you have in court is to file a motion for contempt. That requires...
Hey, let me pause you right there for a second. Now, you and I had previously discussed that it's always, you know, the thing that we like about family law is that we're always trying to come up with creative solutions to resolve things for our clients without having to go to court. So in terms of the party not paying spousal maintenance, is that something that, you know, in terms of the letter, right, are we talking about that's part of that creative solution where we're trying to fix things without having to spend that time and money going to court?
Yes, it always makes sense to see if you can resolve something without going to court. It might be that the other party just needs their attorney to remind them about what this possible consequences of not paying maintenance is, and sometimes that solves the problem quickly. Sometimes the spouse who's supposed to be paying maintenance is just a bit irresponsible and is not and just isn't taking care of their bills and just needs a little nudge. Sometimes that resolves it. Yeah. Sometimes the spouse who is not paying because they're extremely difficult, hostile, angry about the divorce and has no intention of paying. And that certainly happens sometimes. And in those situations, usually it does require a motion for contempt.
Okay. So then the first step that we talked about is, you know, write a letter have your attorney. And the reason why, you can most certainly send your spouse a reminder, but lots of times they just ignore it. But when they see that letter from the attorney or that email from the attorney and it has the letterhead, then somehow it just kind of clicks something. So the first suggestion, if your spouse isn't paying spousal maintenance, is get your family law divorce attorney or attorney you trust to send them a nicely worded but strong letter reminding them of their spousal maintenance obligation and their ability to pay and what can happen if they don't pay. So that would be your first suggestion. Send a letter. And then your next suggestion that you talked about, and unfortunately, you talked about a motion for contempt. What is that?
So you file a motion in court. In order to do that, you have to request an order to show cause from the commissioner, which means that the commissioner is basically signing an order requiring the person who you are looking to hold in contempt to come to court and explain why he or she should not be required to follow the court's order. So that has to be personally served on the other party, which sometimes can be a difficult process and time consuming. And then the other party has an opportunity to respond. So in order to be found in contempt, the other party has to be found.
Well, let's back up a little bit. Motion for contempt, right? I mean, a lot of people aren't familiar with that term. What exactly is a motion for contempt?
Well, it's a motion where you explain to the court what the court order says and how the other party has failed to obey that order. And yes. So
The motion for contempt is that you have, Your Honor, I have this court order in place. This court order says that he's supposed to pay me $1,000 a month in spousal maintenance, and he hasn't paid that, Your Honor. So he's in contempt of the court order because he's not following it. Yes. Now, in terms of motion for contempt, and we've seen this happen, what is your the question I'm trying to ask is, when is it appropriate to file a motion for contempt? For example, because he missed one spousal maintenance?
Oftentimes clients say, he was 5 days late and last month he was 10 days late to pay his spousal maintenance. And usually our response to that is, I know that that's frustrating and annoying, but the court is probably not going to find him in contempt for being 5 or 10 days late. And even if they do find him in contempt, it's not going to help you that much. If he's paying within the month, usually I would say it's not worth going to court for contempt if that's happening.
Unless you see this definite pattern where you can see that person, that spouse knows that the wife's rent payment is due on the 5th, and then he's deliberately paying and his court orders to pay maintenance on the 1st, right? So she can make the payment on the 5th, the rent payment, but instead for the past 10 months, he's been paying it on the 10th. I kind of feel like in that situation, you have this history of showing it's in bad faith, especially if she sends him reminders. That's what I always tell people. That's what we tell people, create the paper trail. Show that you told this spouse that, hey, reminder, your maintenance payment is due on the 1st. My rent is due on the 5th, but yet you keep on sending it to me on the 10th. Stop doing that. You're messing up my rent payment.
Okay. So if you do file a motion for contempt and your spouse does not have an attorney, the court can appoint an attorney to represent him. And the reason for that is that a possible remedy for contempt is actually jail time. So and it is extremely unusual for the court to send somebody to jail for failure to pay spousal maintenance, but it does happen.
Yeah. And our trick for getting around that, because that happened to me once, I'm like, why is this guy get this free attorney on a motion for contempt? And I realized, oh, crap, I asked for jail time. So that's a tip. Do not ask for jail time on a motion for contempt on spousal maintenance, because your spouse will get a free attorney and you don't want that. You do not want that. Don't ask for jail time. And you don't want him to go to jail anyway, because then he can't pay you. Okay. So the first step in a motion, what do I do, right? My spouse isn't paying me spousal maintenance. First, send a letter. The next, if you can file a motion for contempt, it does require some legal steps. You have to go to court. You have to get an order to show cause, which basically tells your spouse you have to appear in court on X date and to explain to the court why you're not paying spousal maintenance. Then that has to be personally served on the other side. And what are some ways that personal service can be accomplished in serving this motion for contempt to your spouse?
So typically you can hire a professional process server, and that's one way to get them served. Also, any other adult other than yourself is qualified to serve somebody. So you don't have to pay somebody. If you have a friend or a relative who can take care of it, that is another way to serve your spouse for this.
Right. And you made an important note there. You just cannot serve your spouse yourself.
Correct.
That is a no-no because you're an interested party and parties cannot serve each other things like motion for contempts.
Correct.
So we're moving forward. Then we talked about filing a motion for contempt. And so what are the things that you have to show in your motion for contempt?
Well, you have to show that there was a court order and that the other party failed to follow the court order. And you have to provide evidence of that. And you also have to show the court that the failure to follow the court order was in bad faith. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if your spouse had a job where he or she was making, say, $10,000 a month, and your spousal maintenance award was, say, $3,000 a month, and your spouse loses his job and is now collecting $2,500 a month in unemployment and stops paying you spousal support, the court is unlikely to find his failure to follow that court order to be in bad faith. Now, there's obviously other factors where that could be the case, but mm-hmm. in those specific circumstances, if the spouse no longer has any ability to pay the spousal maintenance, the court is probably not going to be finding the failure to pay to be in bad faith.
So what would be a good example if you've had a spouse that was making, say, 10 grand and now he's only making $2,000? What would be a factor in the court finding that drop in income was in bad faith?
Well, if that person had quit his job voluntarily for no reason, that would be something. If that person had been fired from his job for some bad behavior, such as stealing or maybe getting a DUI or some sort of behavior like that, it's possible that the court may still find that to be in bad faith. The other factor that a court could look at is just because that party's income has dropped precipitously, that doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't still have $100,000 sitting in the bank that was part of his divorce settlement, and that he still does have the ability to pay during this time when he's not working. And it's possible that this person's job history that's how their job always is they're employed for a period of time, then they're unemployed for a period of time, then they're, you know, maybe they have a contract and they go back to work. And that was anticipated when the spousal maintenance award was either agreed to or ordered by the court. And so therefore the court is not going to give them a break.
Yeah, and that's a really important distinction. There's a really big difference in terms of, because that's, I mean, to have a finding of contempt where the court finds, yes, you party violated this order and your violation of the court order was in bad faith. That's basically what we're talking about here. But there's a difference between, well, husband can't pay the maintenance because it was COVID and, you know, he got laid off like a lot of other people do. That's not bad faith because that's outside his control. Versus you've got this vindictive husband who says, I don't want to pay you the spousal maintenance anymore. I'm going to quit my job as this Microsoft executive and I'm going to work at McDonald's. Yeah.
And even though that seems so crazy that it would happen, it does happen sometimes. It happens actually a lot more often than you would expect.
And I don't get that because it's like, you're not off the hook. You're still going to have to pay. You can't outsmart the court. Okay. So is there anything else in terms of that motion for contempt process that you feel like people need to know about?
No, I think that we covered everything that's for the basics.
The basics. So again, just to kind of refresh here, the topic that we're talking about was basically, what are the remedies available to me if my spouse isn't paying his spousal maintenance? And the first remedy that we talked about was, you know, send a letter. That's kind of like the most cheapest remedy, right? Because you don't want to be spending a whole bunch of money going to court. And especially if it's something like he lost his job because of COVID, right? You're not going to, like Katie was talking about, the court's not going to find that job loss and his failure to pay spousal maintenance in bad faith. So first is to send a letter, because it has happened where people are just maybe just derelict or just not responsible, and they need that reminder, the nudge. And the second remedy that you talked about is, I mean, it's only two options. It's write a letter or go to court on a motion for contempt.
Yes.
And I think in terms of the motion for contempt, I think one thing you talked about is, well, sometimes maybe the party doesn't have the ability to pay the maintenance. So the question then goes, well, then why should I go to court and get this, you know, hire an attorney and spend money on a motion for contempt if my husband can't afford, if my ex-husband can't afford to pay because he lost his job because of COVID. So now I'm in this holding pattern. Why would someone still want to, I guess, file a motion for contempt? What would be the remedy on that?
You could, if you wanted to do that, you could possibly still get a judgment, mm-hmm. For the unpaid spousal maintenance that could be collected on at a later date. That would be one possible reason to do that. I could see that as being a possible reason to take that action. You don't have to file a motion for contempt in order to get a judgment, though. You can just file a motion for a judgment for the unpaid maintenance as well. You don't have to go through all the hoops of a motion for contempt to get there.
Ah, I see. So you would do instead that's a third possibility. File a motion for a judgment. What it has to do, right, what you're talking about is that attorney strategy. What's the best strategy for you, client, in this situation? You know, if someone lost their job because of COVID, is a letter going to work? No, right? Is a motion for contempt going to work? No. Why not? Well, because we can't prove that bad faith element. So then that third option would be, well, hey, you know, what about just, we can file, okay, so what, it's been like 3 months, it's been 4 months. Okay, so let's do a motion for judgment. Cause then at least you get a judgment where the court gives you that dollar amount for that past due spousal maintenance that wasn't paid. You can tack on interest. And when he does start working again, then you have that judgment and you can take it to a collections agency, a collections attorney, and start collecting from his pay stub when he starts working against that back maintenance. So that's the fun part about family law, is that there's no one size fits all solution. You really need an experienced family law attorney. Like you and I, that's all we just do, is just family law and divorce, to really kind of flesh out the facts and think about what option, what case plan, what case strategy works best for that client and that situation and that particular set of facts. And to me, that's what makes family law really fun. Wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely.
I love that. I feel like we just solved a problem right now without even realizing it. All right. Well, I thank you, Katie. And just to wrap up, that was our discussion on spousal maintenance. What happens if my spouse doesn't pay? And thank you all for joining us on our second podcast of Akiona Law. We're here to answer any questions you have about family law and divorce. And if you've got some questions that you want us to address in the podcast, go ahead and put your suggestion down in our chat, and we love to hear from you. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
The information in this podcast is general advice only and should not in any respect be relied on as specific legal advice.